This is not something that you just rip through and take a couple of notes. This is a serious book. What were your intentions when you sat down to write this? Who did you want to address with it?
I really wanted to address the general public. So there's a lot of information in the book. So even somebody who already knows quite a bit about herbs and health will get something out of it. Even somebody in the medical system who may not understand herbs very well, it's written in a language that they might understand. But really, it's written for the everyday person who's starting at ground zero and trying to learn how to use herbs so that. But part of the book is not just learning the herbs, but it's also learning the body. And that helps you get to know which herbs are best to use when, and then how to use diet and lifestyle at the same time to improve your overall well-being.
Well, you're talking to the right person here, because that is my goal, you know, to get away from prescription meds and processed foods and go in a more natural way. But it seems when you walk into what's called a natural food store, it's incredibly expensive, and it doesn't have to be that way, does it?
No, it definitely doesn't have to be that way. I mean, I do most of my shopping in a natural food store, and I really spend less than I'd say most Americans do, but I buy really good quality stuff. So, of course, focusing on, you know, things that we know already, but focusing on the perimeter, eating more vegetables, eating more beans, you know, maybe some whole grains, those things are going to be less expensive. I'm also really choosy. Like, meats are something that's important to eat organic if you eat meat and plants that have been, or eat animals that have been raised on plants and grass and outside. But those are really expensive. So eating, if you are going to eat them, eat less of them. Eat them in combination with maybe beans or mushrooms. It kind of helps stretch it out and still provide good quality protein. And I also go through other ways. You know, I raise some of my own chickens, and my husband hunts, and, you know, we have other ways that we get good quality meat besides just buying them at top dollar in the store.
Well, absolutely. For someone that is, you know, a learner or a beginner like I am, what is the right way to approach herbal medicine and develop a healthier lifestyle?
I would say do it bit by bit. I mean, there are so many herbs and there's so much information out there, but I would, you know, do a little bit of research, find out which herbs, you know, seem to be most appealing to you, and then just start with maybe one or two or a formula. But get to know, do your research, look up a few, you know, find it, I like to say at least three good resources, and I have recommended reading on my website, and I have informative websites on my website to get people started, because there's good and bad information out there. But you really want to kind of know the full picture. So, for example, you know, cinnamon is really great for blood sugar, and it's anti-inflammatory. It also helps with diarrhea. So those are all uses, but then it could make you constipated, or if you took it on an empty stomach, it might lower your blood sugar too low. So you really want to know the full picture of the plant and what it does, what it doesn't do. You maybe double check for herb-drug interactions, and then just take it and listen to your body and see, you know, if does it resonate with you? Do you feel like you need more or less? And, you know, over time, you'll just start to get to know each plant one by one, and, you know, after a while, you'll be able to use a lot of different herbs with success without having to feel anxious about it. But you don't need to start off with 50 herbs in your apothecary. You can start off with just one or two or three.
you don't want to make yourself crazy over it. But there are some safety factors we have to keep in mind if you're brand new to using herbs, and as you mentioned, one of them already drug interactions.
Yes, and drug interactions are not as common as we think they are, but they are possible. For example, they did one study where they tested people coming into the hospital, and they looked at everything they were taking, and they identified about like 45% of them were at risk for herb-drug interactions based on what they were taking. But then when they looked closely at that, 95% of those were not actually serious interactions. There was only maybe 5% that were a concern. So it's something we should take seriously, but we shouldn't get too crazy and concerned about. Drug-drug interactions are actually a much bigger concern. But you can check with your pharmacist. That's probably the easiest way for the everyday person to start using herbs if they're on pharmaceuticals, is just check with their pharmacist and find out if there are any potential herb-drug interactions. And I usually err on the side of caution. If you're on a lot of pharmaceuticals and you really want to use herbs very specifically, then finding a holistic healthcare practitioner like a herbalist or a naturopath. Here in New Hampshire, we license, so our naturopaths are trained as medical doctors. If your state doesn't license, sometimes they're just trained with a correspondence course, so you'll have to kind of do your digging. But they can also kind of help guide you in the process. You should always keep your doctor informed with everything that you're doing, but your doctor may not be a really good resource for information about herb-drug interactions or how to use herbs. They're usually not trained in those kinds of things.
Well, when you talk about looking for someone who's a registered professional herbalist like you are, what should we be looking for? Because I'd be starting at ground zero for something like this.
So you're saying, how would you find an herbalist or a practitioner?
Right. If you're in a state that doesn't license them, What are some of the, you know, maybe red flags to look for?
Yeah, well, and with herbalism is not licensed anywhere in this country, so there isn't any sort of national accrediting body, which has its pros and it has its cons. Mm-hmm. But if you go on the American Herbalist Guild website, you can find herbalists that are going to have passed. If you find an herbalist, those herbalists, including myself, have at least 800 hours of both clinical and study. They've been peer-reviewed. And so you know that they should be a pretty good herbalist. And not to say that there aren't other herbalists out there who are excellent, but that's good for somebody starting at ground zero. And there are many herbalists throughout the country that are listed on there. And that number is increasing every year. We're always getting new or registered herbalists on that list that go through the process. And then for a naturopathic doctor, if you go on the American Academy of Naturopathic Physicians website, they have a Find a Naturopath service. And so there are many other sites, but that's a good kind of starter one that covers the whole country. And so you'll be able to find a licensed naturopathic doctor. There may be somebody who has chosen to still work in your state, even if your state doesn't license, but train. But you want a naturopath who's gone through sort of the rigorous course programs and gone to one of the accredited naturopathic schools. But if you're on that website, then they wouldn't be on that website unless they had gone through all of that.
It's a lot of information, and it's a lot to tie together if you're trying to put together a good healthcare team. If you deal with a lot of issues in your life, this has got to be maybe a little overwhelming for some people to approach at first. Where should they start when thinking, you know, making them a team, your doctor, your naturalist, everybody?
Sure. Well, certainly, I think a doctor is a good part, and they're usually going to be covered by insurance, and they're good for your everyday medical stuff. So you definitely want your regular PCP doctor on the team, even if they can't necessarily support you with natural stuff. And then I would say if you really do want guidance on herbs and natural things, then either finding a naturopathic doctor by going on the naturopathic physician's website and finding one, or going on the American Herbalist Guild website and finding an herbalist in your area. Either way, naturopathic doctors that are licensed can do some things that an herbalist can't, but herbalists usually have a little bit more in-depth education in herbs specifically, and oftentimes they're less expensive than naturopathic doctors. So either one of those, you don't necessarily need both of them.
Okay.
And then anything else that might be supportive, your pharmacist can help you out with things. You might want to see a massage practitioner or a chiropractor or something like that, depending upon what you specifically need for your health.
Do you think people are afraid to dive into something new like this?
I think it really depends on the person. It depends on the area. In my neck of the woods in New Hampshire, I found that people are really excited about it and really interested, and many of them are kind of fed up with the conventional medical care system. It has its benefits, but it also has its disadvantages, and so people are getting a little bit disenchanted and just want to empower themselves more. And so I tend to see more of those people where they're just really excited and just need to know where to start.
Well, I think your book is an excellent place to start. It's Body in Balance, and if someone wants to contact you, look at your website, where do they go?
Sure. At wintergreenbotanicals.com, and there's information about me and my book on there, but then there's also just a lot of information about herbs, recommended reading, articles, those kinds of things on there.